This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. You're about to listen to the Dr. Dahlia Show. Sassy, stimulating medical talk radio. Any medical advice Dr. Dahlia Wax gives on her show should not be substituted for an actual visit to your medical provider. And now, here's Dr. Dahlia.
Doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case loving you.
All right, guys, we are back on the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOC. D-A-L-I. So there's some rumors going around on social media. I think it started on TikTok that Jennifer Aniston has a tick, a vocal tick. And it was actually really interesting. The gentleman on TikTok has said it's going to change your life. You're not going to be able to see her and watch her on Friends. She played Rachel Green on Friends. You're not going to be able to watch her once I tell you this. It's going to change your life completely. And they put together a series of audio and video clips of Rachel in Friends going, right before she would say something. So one thing that we do in acting and we do in comedy is we will clear our throats sometimes on purpose before a line. And I don't know the comedic term for it, but when Joey or Ross or Chandler would say something that doesn't, you know, shall we say, make sense, as a way to, especially in comedy and sitcoms, as a way to look like you're trying to reword or put some thought into something without going, what the heck are you talking about? They go, and you clear your throat. And so she did that a lot. That was kind of her shtick. You know, Rachel Green was, you know, had this sort of, you know, reputation of she was smart. You know, maybe she wasn't the most clean roommate, and Monica thought she might have been lazy. But when somebody would say something, she'd kind of cock her head and go, and she would do that. So a tick, you know, we pick up in medicine a lot, whether somebody has Tourette's or if somebody had a stroke or if somebody has sometimes an involuntary action that they can't control, whether it's like a flutter in the eye, whether it's a sound or a word or a, like, you know, sometimes when you get really, really embarrassed, you'll say something and you don't mean to say it. That could be kind of considered a tick, but something repetitive starts to be, you know, considered something that we might neurologically evaluate. And so I've watched Jennifer Aniston and many of her movies. I've seen probably every episode of Friends. I didn't pick up that that's a tick. I think she just uses that for comedic timing and just say, well, you know. Now, mind you, I've taken care of many patients that do have a, they'll say that before they speak. Right before they speak, they'll do a, sound, or they'll do a, Now, we say a lot, but sometimes it's a tick. For those of us that use it in between words, that's not necessarily a tick. But before they speak, they'll go, every single time they speak. Sometimes we have vocal tics such as that. I do hear the clearing of the throat, the humming. There's a whole variety of different types of vocal tics. Unfortunately, in the movies, they wrongly stereotype Tourette's. Tourette is a neurological condition where you might have tics. And in movies, they'll have somebody just start cussing, right? Not being able to control what they say involuntarily. Yeah, that's a vocal tic, but, you know, Tourette's, they don't just sit there and cuss. I mean, you know, we all, you know, just kind of sit there and go off and cuss. But, you know, sometimes you are not in control and you will just blurt something out. I mean, it happens. So does Jennifer Aniston have a vocal tic? No, I don't think so. That's interesting. You know, she's been talking about maybe retiring from acting. I don't really see that happening because, you know, she's really, really popular right now and she's been able to kind of break the mold. But one thing I want to bring up is she, as well as many actors and actresses, talk about how they struggle trying to break the stereotype of the role that they played. When you play such an iconic role, you can't get out of that role. And apparently she struggled with that until 2002, she said, when she started to be able to, you know, break it out into movies. In fact, Jennifer Aniston was probably one of the most popular or most successful of the people from The Friends. It was interesting. Courtney Cox was supposed to be the beauty. Courtney Cox, the one that played Monica, was, you know, supposed to be the bombshell. And it just turned into it being Jennifer Aniston. And then Courtney Cox, Monica, became a little bit more quirky and the later Chandler's wife and all that. And it was interesting how the way it was supposed to start, it didn't finish that way. And the role of Jennifer Aniston and the role of Rachel Green just blew up. And even though David Schwimmer has done some roles and Matt LeBlanc and many of them have done roles, Jennifer Aniston had just reached to amazing heights in terms of her acting career. And it's frustrating for those of us who love show business that, you know, never made it in the movies or TV shows when you hear somebody upset that they were stereotyped by a role they were at. I understand from a entertainment point of view, that's frustrating, but man, you made millions, right? You know, you got to be famous. To be famous on a show is a dream. And I understand, like Ginger, I think Ginger from Gilligan's Island had that same issue where people just thought she was, you know, just a beautiful bombshell. Okay, I mean, could I be so unlucky to have that? I mean, you know, but then, unfortunately, if they aren't hiring for that, you know, it's interesting. You know, being a doctor, it does really limit you in the entertainment industry, because if I want to be in a role, or I want to, you know, if I want to comment, or if I want to do more in a different field, once you're a doctor, you're kind of labeled. For one of the only people that could kind of shake the doctor stigma in entertainment was the, oh my gosh, I can't think of his name, but he was Mr. Chow in Hangover. He's also in The Mask, singer. And he, I'm sorry, I don't have his name, but you know, he was a physician. I think he was an OB-GYN physician. And I knew he was a physician before he made it big, because he was in that movie Knocked Up with Seth Green and Katherine Heigl, and he played the doctor. And I'm watching him, and I go to my husband, I go, that guy's good. He must have been a doctor in his previous life, because he just really acts like a doctor. Turns out he was. He was a physician. And then he went into show business. So fascinating stuff. But anyway, for those of you that think that you do something involuntarily, I think it is important to get that checked out. Sometimes it could be a sign of a mini stroke. Some people think Jennifer Aniston, maybe because she used to smoke. Maybe it was from her smoking habit, and some people do clear their throats. But there is a difference between a tick and having dry throat or smoker's cough. But I thought I'd kind of put that rumor to rest. 1-877-DOC-VALLEY, don't go away.
This is sponsored by Pharmacyclics, an AbbVie company, and Janssen Oncology. While the pandemic has altered our regular way of living, it's still important to work closely with your doctor. Did you know that chronic lymphocytic leukemia, or CLL, a type of slow-growing cancer, is the most common form of leukemia in adults? It's important to keep your doctor's appointments, as some CLL patients do not have symptoms, but learn of their diagnosis through routine blood tests. Dennis, diagnosed with CLL in 2013, urges patients to talk to their doctor and be proactive in the conversation, sharing.
I try to think ahead. It's a definite teamwork between you and your doctor. You're going to get the best results if you ask the right questions and your doctor knows that you are a part of the team.
Don't let the pandemic keep you from being proactive about your health. Keep your regular checkups and learn about CLL by visiting knowyourcll.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. Call 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946.
Power grid failures and natural disasters, they happen too often now. Will financial collapse be next? What kind of emergency plan do you have for the next sudden food shortage? If you don't, it's time to prepare. At MyPatriotSupply.com, we make it easy for you. Our emergency food storage kits stay fresh for up to 25 years. They ship fast and discreetly to your door. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOC-DALI. Big thanks to Genesis Communications Network for making the show happen. Big thanks to Daniel for working the dials. And big thanks to you all for tuning in. We really do appreciate it. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dahlia and on Facebook, The Dr. Dahlia Show. Cheryl from Pahrump, Nevada wants to know, what do I think Tiger Woods' recovery time will be? And will he be able to play golf again? You know, it's obviously a question on many people's minds. They didn't want to ask that yesterday, you know, right after the accident. But now that we know what type of surgery he had, many people want to know, will Tiger Woods be able to play again? Personally, I can't answer that unless I know what also happened to his back. Well, there's been a lot of attention of what happened to Tiger Woods and his leg. So according to a report from his team last night, by the way, this is how it reads. As previously communicated, Tiger was involved in a single car accident earlier this morning in California. This was written last night. He has undergone a long surgical procedure on his lower right leg and ankle after being brought to the hospital. So what sort of injuries did he have? They say Mr. Woods suffered significant orthopedic injuries to his right lower extremity that were treated during emergency surgery by orthopedic trauma specialists at Harvard-UCLA Medical Center, Level 1 Trauma Center. Comminuted open fractures affecting both the upper and lower portions of the tibia and fibula bones. So comminuted, meaning broken in multiple places. Open, meaning, open to the skin. All right? He was bleeding and, yeah. These were, Dak Prescott, I think, had an open comminuted fracture as well. Comminuted open fractures affecting both the upper and lower portions of the tibia and fibula bones. These are the two main bones of the lower leg. Were stabilized with by inserting a rod into the tibia. So when there are multiple fractures and the bone isn't strong enough to be put together, we use a rod. And hopefully as the bone heals, it has that rod as a skeleton to help it maintain form and maintain strength. Additional injuries, they said, to the bones of the foot and ankle were stabilized with a combination of screws and pins. So, again, we use basic carpentry when it comes to, re-putting somebody's body back together. It's not rocket science. And we will, if there's a piece of bone and it's out too far and we need to get that bone back and it's not bone that we would want to saw off or remove, that it's bone we could salvage, we might pin it, screw it into, other bone. They say there was trauma to the muscle and soft tissue of the leg that required surgical release of the covering of the muscles to relieve pressure due to swelling. There's something called compartment syndrome, where when you have trauma to an extremity, the swelling could be so bad that it cuts off blood supply. And so when you have that much injury, sometimes they have to open, I hate to use the term fillet, but sometimes we have to fillet it open a little bit to allow there to be pressure release. Now, this comes from Anish Mahajan, Chief Medical Officer and Interim CEO at Harper-UCLA Medical Center. So currently, as of last night, he was awake, responsive, recovering in his hospital room. And they thank the wonderful doctors and hospital staff at Harvard-UCLA Medical Center, the L.A. County Sheriff's Department, and the Fire Department. And Tiger Woods' team says your support and assistance has been outstanding. No further updates at this time, and we continue to thank you for your well wishes and privacy. So, Tiger Woods, as we know, is recovery. He's, able to speak. He was able to speak to first responders. He was able to, ask them to get a hold of his agent to get stuff out of his car. And this all happened at 7 a.m. yesterday in Rancho Palos Verdes, when his SUV crossed a median, veered across two lanes of road, hit a curb, hit a tree, landed on its side in the brush. I thought there was more of a rollover, but it looks like he landed on its side. He was conscious, calm, but these injuries were serious. He could have bled to death. Very serious injuries. And so, the open comminuted fractures put one at risk for infection. They put one at risk for poor bone healing. So it was an emergency. They took him to a level one trauma center, meaning they could deal with some of the highest of trauma issues. Harvard-UCLA Medical Center is in Torrance. And then the orthopedic surgeons involved putting the pins and screws in. So, what's the recovery? At least 6 months, at least. Okay, when you break a bone, the average bone is about 6 weeks, maybe for a small, simple fracture. But when we look at, comminuted, when we look at screws and all that, and then the rehab, it's going to take a lot. In terms of can he play again, having a leg, I'm not a golfer. I can do mini golf, goofy golf. I've never done real golf. You do need most of your body. People said, he could be in a cast. He could, you need to be able to walk. You need to, I don't see him on the golf course anytime soon. Will he be able to golf again? Well, it depends on how much his back was injured and other things. The leg is one thing, but what about his shoulders? What about his back? He was recovering from his fifth orthopedic surgery. Or fifth back surgery. He had back surgery, a microdiscectomy, back in December. And so if anything happened to his back, which we're assuming something must have, even if it was just soft tissue, he didn't necessarily have to have a fracture. If his back, an accident like this could really mess up the back. And so my guess is if he does have any impedance to playing, it might have to do with his back. Now, he's only 45 years old. you know, the prior DUI that he had back in 2017, I believe, it was related to medicines he was taking because of his spinal fusion surgery. He was on Dilaudid for pain, Ambien, I believe Xanax for anxiety, Ambien for sleep, and looks like he had some marijuana in his system. And, you know, he was treating himself, and he said it was wrong for him to do that, and he ends up falling asleep, especially if you accidentally take Ambien in the morning. Ambien knocks you out. Xanax does, too. And so, unfortunately, he was caught in his car asleep and then in trouble for DUI. DUI doesn't necessarily have to mean an alcohol. It's driving under the influence. We spoke about how some medications can put you under the influence, you know, like Benadryl. Some states, I believe, have Benadryl under their DUI list, because Benadryl makes you tired. If I take a Benadryl, I am out in 15 minutes. Well, if I take that and I drive, I'm under an influence. So, you know, these are medications you need to be careful of that make you sleepy. But they say that he was agitated. He looked agitated when he was leaving. There was some video footage of him speeding. I mean, in California, you have open road. And, you know, you're used to bumper, and you have open road. We all speed in California. Unfortunately, he might have just hit a turn not right, hit that median, flipped. And he could have died, and, you know, thank God he's okay. While, you know, people have been kind of dissecting what's going on with Tiger Woods, news is circulating about Kevin Hart's previous accident. Kevin Hart was in a pretty severe crash, I think about a year and a half ago. And apparently there's footage of him on camera texting while driving his Mustang erratically on an L.A. highway. Now, this was on the 405 freeway. If you've ever driven in L.A., the 405 is a major artery. That's what I would take to go to UCLA. And it takes you basically up into the valley and then north, and then it connects to the 5. And the 405 takes you all the way to San Diego. And he was near Long Beach, close to Long Beach, kind of close to where Tiger Woods is. And apparently you could see him on the phone sending messages. So pictures are circulating. And they said these pictures come 18 months after he broke his back in 3 places in a crash, assessed to be, quote, reckless driving. A source said he was on the freeway between Irvine and Long Beach. It was so erratic, he kept speeding up, slowing down, and weaving in and out of traffic. Now, in California, if you text or talk on the phone while driving on a public road, it is illegal. And there's a distracted driving law. Violators are fined $20 the first time they are caught, then fines raise $50 for every subsequent incident. And so, you know, he had suffered a pretty bad accident. That was when Dwayne Johnson had joked that, you know, because I guess Jumanji had just been released. And so, you know, Dwayne Johnson was asked how his co-star, Kevin Hart, is doing. And he said, I spoke to his pediatrician, and he's fine. So they've been making jokes, and Kevin Hart's had a really good attitude about it. But we do, you know, use our cell phones. We do text. We do things we're not supposed to do on the road. Some people think a $20 fine is not enough when it comes to, you know, cars and texting. Others think it's too restrictive. My issue is we've trained ourselves to be so distracted by, as soon as we get a beep. Yeah, I mean, the phones are smart. They know exactly to make a beep that makes you want to go and look. And so you look at your phones, and we're so used to looking at our phones every time we have a beep or a vibrator or a sound, that when you're in the car, you can't tell yourself, I'm going to wait. No, you need to be able to do that. And then also, many people use their phones for their music. So they'll switch their playlist, or they'll get free songs from YouTube, and they'll download them while driving. Or you can't be doing that. So we'll keep you posted. 1-877-DOCTALI, 1-877-DOCTALI.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works.
Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Los Angeles authorities say the stretch of road where Tiger Woods lost control of his SUV has a high frequency of accidents. Several neighbors telling NBC4 the winding, steep section of Hawthorne Boulevard in Rancho Palos Verdes is dangerous, especially if drivers aren't riding the brakes on the way down. LAPD saying Woods wearing his seatbelt saved his life. Woods having a rod and screw inserted in his right leg right below the knee to stabilize it. As far as his recovery time,
the healing process here takes 4 to 6 months, but luckily it's done, the surgery now.
CBS News medical contributor Dr. David Agus. The number of coronavirus cases and deaths are declining worldwide. The World Health Organization saying the number of new infections dropped 11% last week. You're listening to USA Radio News. The Biden administration is moving to deliver more than 25 million face masks to communities that have been hard hit by the coronavirus outbreak.
While masks are widely available in many different shapes and sizes, many low-income Americans still lack affordable access to this basic protection.
White House COVID coordinator Jeff Zients telling reporters the mask will be well-fitting cloth products that are made in the United States. The third-ranking Republican in the House is taking another shot at former President Trump.
He said Rich fell on January 6th. I don't believe that he should be playing a role in the future of the party in this country.
Wyoming's Liz Cheney was asked by reporters if Trump should be speaking at the CPAC summit this weekend and said that was up to CPAC. Cheney was one of the Republicans who voted to impeach Trump following the Capitol Hill attack. She was also censured in her home state of Wyoming. More news online at usaradio.com. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Show 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. So there's been a lot of debate on what COVID can live on. Remember, we were told it could only live for a few hours on an object or on a surface. And then there was a study that was done on cruise ships, and they found that the coronavirus could live up to 17 days on an inanimate object or surface. So there's been a lot of debate, and I think a lot of the studies show varying times of how these viruses, how long they can live. And I think one of the reasons why we have such variables in terms of variances on how much a virus can live is because I think we're dealing with different viruses and we're dealing with different strains, which we're going to talk about, especially with the one in California that's seeming to be a little bit more wily than some of the other ones. So one of the latest studies is looking at COVID on clothes. So, you know, as a hospital worker, you know, when I was in training, We were supposed to change out of our scrubs. You go to the hospital in regular clothes. There's a locker room. You take off your regular clothes. You put on scrubs. Lock them up in your locker. And then you're in scrubs for the day. You go back to the locker room. You take off your scrubs. Put them in the laundry. Take your clothes and walk out. Well, in the 90s, you know, when you're doing 36-plus hour shifts and you're busy, we were like, you know what? We're going to walk into work with our scrubs. We'll walk out with our scrubs. And I would come home, and my scrubs would be dirty. I would have blood on my shoes, and I would hose them off. I'd throw some alcohol on them, take a new pair of shoes, come back. I had these little white Keds, were they? I don't know. And there was just no time to change, you know. And, you know, you were tired. You had to round. And then I would, you know, not remember my the lock, or I wouldn't have the key. So I'm like, I'll just wear my scrubs. Plus, it allowed us to, you know, have scrubs at home. And then we would do work in our scrubs. And in fact, when I would travel, I traveled in scrubs because it had pockets. So it gave us a way to kind of, you know, sneak a pair of scrubs. And so we, you know, now with COVID, right, everything is under a microscope now. And so if hospital workers are going back and forth and they're not leaving their clothes there and they aren't going to sanitize, what is that doing to the family? So they did a study, and they found that cotton, the COVID, I think, dies off in about 24 hours. But if you have polyester, it could live up to 3 days. So according to this study, this was done, they added droplets to polyester. This was done, I apologize, the computer is switching. This was carried out at De Montfort University in Leicester. And they looked at how coronavirus behaves on three fabrics. And they found that polyester enables the virus to survive at infectious levels for up to 72 hours, but it dies in about a day on 100% cotton. So for those of us who wear 100% cotton underwear, it's not going to be on our underwear after a day or so. But if you wear polyester, a lot of older folks like polyester because it stretches. We could be harboring the virus for a few days, especially if you just leave the clothes on the ground and you don't, you know, clean them. Coronavirus can only survive on a poly-cotton hybrid for 6 hours. So the study used a model coronavirus called the HCoV-OC43, which is similar to the SARS-CoV-2. The droplets were added to polyester, poly-cotton, and cotton to see how long the virus would last. And if the virus can stick to clothing, I mean, then, no wonder people at home were kind of a captive audience and were exposed. So you heard of, you know, doctors sleeping in the garage, nurses sleeping in separate rooms. Most families are like, look, mom, dad, we love you. If we get it, we get it. But the problem is if you live with a healthcare worker, they come home, you keep bringing that home. You might be immune, but people come into the house, they could get exposed. So it was kind of interesting that clothing could carry it. I'm not surprised. This virus is smart. I mean, if it's been able to outsmart our masks, you know it has an affinity to fabrics and a means to either use them as a platform or, you know, be able to survive, unless these are, I guess, laced with copper. I think copper will kill the virus. You know, a virus can still live on cotton and polyester and things like that. Silk. What's Spanx? I have a lot of Spanx. Rubber? Vulcanized rubber, maybe? Now, glasses. Okay, remember early on in this, we said you need to cover your eyes? Because the masks aren't enough. The virus can get into your eyes. So I bought from my staff shields so they could still cover their eyes. Goggles, nobody really wanted the goggles, but we had shields. And most people aren't wearing shields. In the hospital setting, we do. But outside, people are wearing the mask, and they have all the rhinestones and the sequins and, you know, or the, you know, Dallas Cowboys. So, you know, their masks are pretty cool. But, you know, what about the eyes? You know, does COVID get into the eyes? Well, yes, it does. And we've had a study here reinforcing that, saying if you wore glasses, you were less likely to get COVID. Now, I always take off my glasses. I might use reading glasses. But reading glasses, you got to put on your nose like this. Like, no, class. And you look all kind of grandma-y. That's not. We're talking about the glasses, like the 1980s glasses, 70s glasses that took over most of your eyes. So this was a study published in MedRxiv, and researchers said that those who wear glasses at least 8 hours during the day are less likely to contract the virus because they don't touch their eyes less frequently than those who do not wear glasses. So when somebody sneezes, coughs, etc., that they provide a barrier and you're touching your eyes less. See, I disagree. When I wear glasses, I'm like always messing with them because then something gets in my eye and then so I don't know if I really touch my eyes less. I think I touch my face more. But this study, they looked at 300 people who were hospitalized due to COVID in India. They range anywhere from 10 to 80. 60 patients were identified as longtime glass wearers, and they found that those who wore glasses were 2 to 3 times less likely to contract COVID. So it just kind of reminds us that we need to cover the eyes a little bit better. All right. So what's going on in California? Remember I told you they got a variant there. I mean, when California does something, they like to spearhead and trailblaze. So the California variant called the CAL.20C-L452R or the B1427B1429 emerged in California back in May in 2020. And it's homegrown. They say this variant makes double the virus particles than others. You know, people ask, okay, you're saying it's more infectious. How is it more infectious? Does it evade the mask? Does it evade the immunity? Well, this sucker, we think, does evade immunity, but it also replicates more viral particles. So if, let's say, you know, you have something that makes 1 million, you know, virus particles, it makes 2 million. Now more cells get infected. Somebody's going to spew out more of these, then they became more infectious. So, unfortunately, it is serious. They say that this variant makes up 50% of all cases in the state, is estimated to make up 90% of all the cases by the end of March. And researchers are worried that even though the UK variant is rising, they think if these two strains, the UK B1117 strain and this new California strain meet and have a recombination event, like we've already seen one strain do, that could be, unfortunately, more dangerous. So, you know, are they trying to keep up the fear? Are they trying to worry people? No. You know, I'll tell you when I think it's hype. All right, I'll tell you what I think is that. I think they want us to be very cautiously optimistic about the numbers and how we're seeing hospitalizations go down. But I think they also want people to realize that we're chasing butterflies, if that's a proper analogy, because I use the most horrible analogies on this show. Remember when all of this first started, where New York got hit really, really bad, and in California and in Nevada and in Arizona, it wasn't too bad. You know, so I was on the John Phillips show on KVC, and we were talking about how it's probably a different strain in New York. And it turned out that the New York strain had gone through the UK, changed a little bit versus what we got on the West Coast, was more from Asia, had come from, you know, China more directly. And so we knew we were dealing with some different strains. Maybe they weren't identified, but in New York, it just seemed to hit them harder, maybe because of the dense populations. But then all of a sudden, California got hit, and it got hit hard. And people are wondering, well, I don't understand, because, you know, did it just take time for the New York strain to get there? It could have. But we suspected that it might have been a different strain. Now we have the evidence that it is a different strain. And so because California had a more exaggerated response and issue with hospitals, we need to make sure that our vaccines can deal with that strain as well. 1-877-DR-FELLING, don't go away.
The following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the gold stocks boom in the U.S. markets. More stimulus and higher inflation could potentially drive gold prices to record highs in 2021. And with gold exploration stocks poised to skyrocket in the coming months, you have an opportunity to position your trades with red-hot gold exploration stock opportunities. Text the word GOLD to 48542. Get front row access to market intelligence when you text the word GOLD to 48542 and to set your investment research strategy to hyper-growth mode with your free subscription to the Gold Market Research Report. Text GOLD to 48542 and have this red-hot intelligence delivered directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. If you're interested in our hit list of the most promising gold exploration stocks, then text the word GOLD to 48542 and don't get left behind in 2021. Text GOLD to 48542.
Hey guys, Dr. Dahlia here. We love our drivers out there, and many of you are in need of renewing your CDL. Well, if you're in Southern Nevada, we've got the place for you. Your DOT physical can be done by calling 702 562-8800 and mention this ad. You'll get a discount. Easy, convenient hours to get you back on the road. So for your CDL DOT physical, call 702-562-8800 and drive safely.
As a bald man, on a per follicle basis, haircuts usually aren't a great value to me. But at Supercuts, I can have an experienced stylist recommend the perfect cut for an affordable price, even if my options are limited. And while my hair-to-dollar ratio is good, yours is off the charts. Because Supercuts won't just cut your hair. They'll obsess over it until you look amazing, then finish with a hot towel refresher to top it all off. And from my personal bald perspective, that's what I call hair rich. Don't take your hair for granted. Take it to Supercuts.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wrap should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
For tuning in, 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. We have some breaking news here. We are being told that the entire Federal Reserve payment system crashes, with banks having a severe disruption, unable to send or receive wires. We are talking about the Federal Reserve, the system used by U.S. banks. It executes over $3 trillion in transactions a day. Has operational errors right now. They began seeing outages at about 8:15 this morning Pacific time. They remained out for over 3 hours, so I think they're hopefully back up now. Apparently, they say our technical teams have determined that the cause is a Federal Reserve operational error, We will provide updates via service status as more information becomes available. It is our like backbone of our U.S. financial system. I think they use Fedwire. It's among the system impacted. The feds acknowledge that the payment deadlines are impacted by the disruption. I don't know if this has to do with the stimulus checks or not, but that is one big cluster. An update at 1:18 p.m. Eastern Time confirmed the disruption and added we will continue to provide updates. Among the affected services was Fedwire, which is the system for large transfers between banks, which last year handled 184 million transactions, totaling $840 trillion. Everyday transactions over Fedwire total more than $3.3 trillion. Sounds like a hack to me. Sounds like somebody's hacking. Other affected systems include FedACH. They handle smaller transactions, the National Settlement Service, and depository institutions with Federal Reserve Bank master accounts. Applications for central bank, the bank of banks, financial institutions deposit funds, they were back online by 2:17, so that was about maybe a half hour ago. Wow. That's a mess. That's a cluster. I cannot stand how we are so reliant on these systems and that anybody can hack them. And I don't know, keep your money under your bed. I don't know what the answer is. I keep my money in a bank because I think it's safer, you know, because my house has been broken into. So we don't have anything at the house, but maybe we need to. Johnson & Johnson vaccine has, quote, a favorable safety profile, according to the FDA. This is going to be the third vaccine receiving emergency use authorization in the United States. The FDA posted documents Wednesday finding the dose, the one-shot dose of Johnson & Johnson to have a favorable safety profile, no specific concerns identified. This endorsement is not necessarily the FDA approval yet, but it's a promising sign. And it looks like it's on its way to being approved. The vaccine candidate is 66.9% effective against moderate to severe disease, which is still better than our average flu shot. And this is within 2 weeks of post-vaccination. Per documents posted ahead of a meeting of the panel of experts, they are planning on getting this authorized for use in those 18 and over. So we still don't have vaccines for kids. I know everybody's saying, well, let's vaccinate the kids before they go back to school. We can't. Yet, these vaccines haven't been indicated or tested. The committee noted that no COVID-19-related deaths in vaccinated individuals as of February 5th were noted, but 7 COVID-19-related deaths occurred in the placebo group. So what that means is in the study, 7 people died, but they were ones who didn't get the vaccine. Now, people are like, well, did the placebo kill them? Nah, we think they died of COVID. They didn't get the vaccine, and they were in the non-COVID-receiving group. We don't think placebo killed them. We think it was they just didn't get they got COVID. They said all 7 deaths involved individuals at study sites in South Africa. At least one had health, with at least one underlying health condition. So they believe that the vaccine is efficacious against mortality associated with COVID-19. Now, the committee noted that vaccine efficacy results had limited interpretability, especially for those over 75 in certain racial groups. There was not enough data to assess vaccine efficacy in those previously infected. Now, what were the side effects? Well, headache, according to Fox News, fatigue, myalgia, body aches, most mild to moderate. They resolved within 2 days post-vaccination. Participants age 18 to 59 experienced reactions after the vaccine more often than those over the age of 60. But they said there were no specific safety concerns based on race, age, ethnicity, medical comorbidities, or prior SARS-CoV-2 infection, according to the documents. There were 5 cases of urticaria or itching, allergic reaction. I don't believe there was any full-blown anaphylaxis. The committee said this non-serious event was probably related to the vaccine. Not enough data to be able to say it caused blood clots or ringing in the ears. But it has been suggested there might be a relationship, but the FDA does not believe so. So how is this shot different? Well, remember, the Pfizer and the Moderna, they use a piece of mRNA, a very delicate piece of RNA instead of DNA, and it's surrounded by a little lipid envelope. It gets into the muscle cell. The lipid envelope goes away or gets dissolved. The mRNA gives instructions to the cell to make spike protein. So the cell takes this mRNA, makes the spike proteins get then presented to the immune system. The immune system learns what it is, identifies it, and goes, okay, now we're going to, you know, attack it when we see the real thing with real COVID. The Johnson & Johnson vaccine is a little different. They use an adenovirus vector. So it's DNA and not RNA, and the adenovirus, which is a virus, helps bring in the DNA into the cell. The DNA then has to go into our DNA. I know that worries some people, but they say it's safe. The DNA goes into our DNA. Our DNA goes, okay, we'll make mRNA, the messenger RNA. They make that. That goes back out into the cytoplasm of the cell. And then the process is very similar to what we saw with Moderna and Pfizer, where they read the instructions of the mRNA, make the spike proteins. So it's a different vector. And they use a weakened cold, or well, they actually use a virus that has been genetically designed to not replicate and become infectious. So the virus goes away just like the lipid particle. So that's why they believe it's pretty safe. Now, people say, Dahlia, you're telling me that the DNA is going to mix with our DNA? We are being told that the instructions are so clear that it's not supposed to have the DNA go rogue. That the instructions are for the DNA to just turn around and make mRNA. I can't tell you if there's going to be any issues 20 years down the line. In theory, it's not supposed to cause cancer. It's not supposed to do anything horrible, in theory. All right? And you know, but when people say, you can't convince me that this isn't going to be a problem 20 years from now, I can't convince you because it hasn't been around that long. But with the way it is designed, and it's very specific, all right, there shouldn't be, you know, and again, I can't predict nature, but it shouldn't cause something to go rogue and decide, oh, we're going to make breast cancer. It's not supposed to do that. It's going into a muscle cell. The muscle cell is supposed to make spike proteins. It's not supposed to make melanoma. Doesn't touch a melanocyte. It's not supposed to make breast cancer. Doesn't touch the boobies. Not supposed to cause prostate cancer. Doesn't go anywhere near the prostate. So that's what we think. All right, so Johnson & Johnson, if they finally get their go-ahead, they say they are ready to have 3 to 4 million doses ready to go once the FDA gets their acts together and approves it. Now, remember we said we weren't going to get approval on Johnson & Johnson until the end of the month. So Jeff Zients, White House COVID-19 coordinator, said that the U.S. is ready to roll out this vaccine without delay. They said the distribution and allocation of supply would mirror the approach currently being used across jurisdictions. The company has already announced plans to deliver 20 million doses by the end of March. White House has worked with Johnson & Johnson to further accelerate the pace and time frame where they could deliver the full 100 million doses. Johnson & Johnson, this is going to be huge. I don't know how much the stock's going to go up. I don't even know if the stock really went up that much thus far with it. But this being the one-shot vaccine is kind of, even though it doesn't seem to be as super effective, it is going to be hopefully the, you know, this should be huge. So we're pretty excited about that. If I could just see real quick what Johnson & Johnson is doing. Okay, I don't know if I would buy the stock yet because it's kind of funny. Nah, it went up about 2%. All right, guys, don't go away. We'll be right back. 1-877-DOT-DELLY.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers, but if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need, just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email. Advertise at GCNlive.com.